What's going on, Penguins? This is DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to another live edition of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And today we are going to be having another great show. We have another hour-long show. It's not the half-an-hour show like last time because of Melba Beal's retirement party. And again, thank Melba for everything that she's done. And now let's get into the nitty-gritty with the fantasy sports. As usual, we're going to be starting out with fantasy basketball, work our way to fantasy baseball, and then finish up with our fantasy hockey segment. And then we have our recap, which I'll be talking about at the very end of the show with everything that you guys missed for all those late people who came in. So, first off, fantasy basketball. We have the top players of the 2013-2014 season for scoring. Number one, of course, is Kevin Durant, averaging 32 points a game with almost one block a game, 1.3 steals a game, 5.6 assists, 7.6 rebounds, and averaging about 2 3-pointers a game, shooting 873 from the free throw line and over 500 from the field. So he's doing very well for his player value. And then next we have Carmelo Anthony, and I may add he is day-to-day, so you do want to be careful because who knows if he's going to be playing again or if he could be sitting out a game. He's day-to-day, so you always want to be careful with those. However, Carmelo Anthony is averaging 27 points a game with the same as Kevin Durant, just under a block a game, with 1.2 steals, 3 assists, and 8 rebounds, making as well as just 2 3-pointers a game, shooting 847 from the free throw line and 450 from the field. They also both have 38 minutes played a game, so they're both getting great minutes. I mean, everybody that's going to be at the top of this list is going to have great, great minutes because they are their star players for the team. And whenever you do have a star player, he will be getting the time because it just makes sense, right? So third, we have LeBron James, and LBJ is averaging 26.8 points a game with 0.3 blocks, 1.6 steals, 6.5 assists, just under 7 rebounds a game, and just 1 3-pointer. He's not really a big 3-point shooter. He really drives the lane and gets to the free throw line because he is averaging about 17 free throws a game. Oh, I'm sorry. He's not averaging 17. He's averaging 7 free throws a game. He's averaging 17 shots from the field a game. And he is 748 from the free throw line and 568 from the field. And then we have Kevin Love, who is also a day-to-day. He needs to be carefully watched because Minnesota Timberwolves are looking to make a push for the playoffs, and they really do need Kevin Love, so it would not be surprising if they do indeed sit him out and let some other people get some time, build up their bench a little bit as they go into the playoffs. Also, Kevin Love is huge for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He is averaging 26 points a game, under one block a game and under a steal a game, with 4 assists and 12.6 rebounds a game. So he's averaging a double-double easily a game with 2.4 three-pointers a game, shooting 817 from the free throw line and just under 500 from the field. Kevin Love is a great player. And the next player I'm about to say also has a very high field goal percentage because all he does is just dunk the ball. Can you guess who that is? Yeah, it's Blake Griffin. He's averaging 24 points a game, 0.6 blocks a game, 1 steal, 3 assists, and 9 rebounds. So Kevin Love is doing much better than Blake Griffin, averaging about 3 more rebounds than he is averaging Blake Griffin. So he's doing much better. But anyways, Blake Griffin also is shooting 7-10 from the free throw line. One of the big concerns that Blake Griffin did have coming into the season was being able to knock down those free throws. And for a fantasy team, you do really need to have that part of the game with the free throws. I mean, I stress him every single week. The free throws are very crucial, and Blake Griffin is really pulling himself, and he's doing very well. He's shooting 7-10 now from the free throw line when he used to be shooting like 500, nothing too good. And Blake Griffin is also shooting 5-28 from the field, so he's also shooting very well from the field. Now we have Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors, and Golden State Warriors are doing very well. They're also trying to make a playoff push. I think that they actually did clinch the other day. But anyway, Steph Curry has 23 points, assist, or 23.5 points a game. So this is the averages, which I did say earlier. And 0.2 blocks, 1 steal, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, and nearly three and a half three-pointers a game. And he's shooting 878 from the free throw line, which is tremendous. That's very good free throw percentage. He's doing very well. And then also we have his fields shooting from the field. He's shooting 468, which is okay, but, I mean, he does shoot a lot of threes. He is averaging over 3 threes a game, so he's really a distant shooter. And next we have James Harden, and he is averaging 25 points a game with 0.4 blocks a game, a steal and a half a game, with 5 assists, nearly 6, and 5 rebounds a game, with 2.5 three-pointers a game, with 862 from the free throw line, a very high free throw shooter, as well as Stephen Curry. And we'll get to the greatest free throw shooter for now later. Like that pause for dramatic effect right there. And then we have James Harden, who is 4.58 from the field. And then moving on, we have DeMar DeRozan of Toronto. And DeMar DeRozan is shooting 22 points a game with 1 steal, 4 assists, and 4 rebounds with under 1 three-pointer a game. But, however, he is doing very well from the free throw line, shooting 8-21 on the year with 4-31 from the field. And then we have Paul George, big man on campus. He's looking to take his first title this year. He's doing a great job. However, Paul George is averaging 21 points a game with 0.3 blocks and 1.9 steals with 3.5 assists and 6.7 rebounds, averaging 2.3 three-pointers a game. He also likes to drive the lane just like LeBron. He likes to tuck and get in there, likes the physical contacts, take it to the rim. He's really, really physical. And he also is not afraid to shoot from behind the arc because he has tremendous range, which makes him such a versatile and diverse player. And that's why he is such a tremendous athlete. And that's how he became such a threat to deal with in the NBA. However, Paul George is also shooting 865 from the free throw line and 425 from the field. So he is shooting very well. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he could be shooting much higher if he did drive the lane more and didn't jack up some crazy shots. But sometimes they go in, so I guess why not take him is the mentality. And now we have Dirk Nowitzki. And if you guys were wondering, he is the player who does have one of the highest free throw percentages that I've seen yet. And it's 901. He's almost shooting 100% on the year. And he's averaging 21 points a game with 2 assists and 6 rebounds and 1 three-pointer a game. But, I mean, 901 from the free throw line, that number really sticks out to those people who are into it with the free throws and they need a player who can really be consistent with the points. Anything that's over 20 points a game, I think, is amazing for a player to have if you're averaging 20 points a game. And if you have them on your team, that is really what you want to see. And for Dirk Nowitzki, although he is very old, the fact is that he's still good. And people overlook his age, and that's the people who are doing very well in their team for their fantasy. And those are the people who really do their research and believe that Dirk can do things still, and he's proven himself right now. So next we have Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. And Damian Lillard has also 21 points a game with 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 three-pointers. And I'm sorry, scratch that. It's 5 assists and 3 rebounds. And he's averaging 8.71 from the free throw line, which is also very good, as I did say earlier about the free throws. I just got over. You guys get it. So next is LaMarcus Aldridge. And these, keep in mind, actually, really quick, Dirk Nowitzki is averaging almost 5 minutes less than everybody else on the list so far. So he's has less play time and still producing those huge numbers that they're looking for, which is just impeccable. So now we have John Wall, who is one of my favorite players, and he's averaging 19.8 points a game with 0.5 blocks. I mean, he's not really a block shooter guy, but averaging 2 steals a game, which is one of the highest yet, and 8.7 assists with 4 rebounds. I think that John Wall in the future could be a much higher potential for a player who can be averaging triple-doubles. I know that does sound like a long shot now, but John Wall has the potential to jump up high and get those balls out of the sky. Like, he can really get up high and get the boards when he needs to. And he could, I mean, everybody saw him at the dunk contest. You guys saw what he could do, what he's capable of. And I think that he already puts out great number of assists. So with that, I just think that he's going to be able to go much, much farther in his career, being able to produce much more for his team. And that's why I think that John Wall could be a very, very high potential player later in the next couple seasons when they get a supporting cast, or he may even get traded. But the Wizards are very happy with John Wall, I'm pretty sure. And with that, that will conclude this segment of Fantasy Basketball. You're listening to The Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse. And stay with us. We're going to be coming right back with a Fantasy Baseball segment as usual. So I'll see you guys after this quick break. All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and this next segment is going to be about the fantasy baseball segment, as usual. And the number one, well, I'm still going to be doing the projections, as I did say the last show. We're going to still gonna be going through them for all those people that have not drafted yet. For those people that have drafted, then you guys will be getting just reassurance of who you guys drafted. So number one is Robinson Cano, which is not really a big shock. He's such a great player, just an athlete overall. He's a tremendous player. And don't let winter circumstances of the length of his 10-year, $240 million deal with the Seattle Mariners, nor chatter of the Yankee Stadium artificially inflated his statistics, inspire panic that Cano's fantasy value will plummet. It's fair to point out that he hit 16 more home runs at home than on any road the past five seasons combined. Coinciding with the entirety of the New York Yankee Stadium existence thus far, and the New York Yankees averaged 1.4 more runs per game than the Seattle Mariners during the same five-year span. But in Cano's defense, during the same time, he batted 4 points higher on the road, 3.16 to 3.12, and hit 10 more home runs to left the and center in row games. So he hit more to the opposite field or oppo than he did for the pulling, which really improves his own batting style. So getting down to the cold hard facts, Robinson Cano had 27 last year. They have him going for 23 this year with 97 runs, which is also a 16-run improvement, which is also huge. And they also have him going for 9 more strikeouts, which you don't really want to see. But, I mean, anything under 100 is good, as I do say. And then we have Jason Kipnis, who plays for the Cleveland Indians. Sorry about that. So Kipnis, his 2013 statistics were as such. He had 86 runs, 17 home runs, 84 RBIs, 76 walks, and 143 strikeouts. Sounds pretty ugly. He batted 284. But for the 2014 projections, they have him batting for 12 points less, which it's not really ideal, but Kipnis is a huge, huge part of the Cleveland Ball Club. He really produces for them. He is going to be lowered by 13 strikeouts. They have him for less strikeouts. And they have him going for 27 steals, which is also fairly high for a person who does steal bags a lot. And they have going for 2 more runs, which is also really good, but you don't want to see your players with less runs. You always want to have them have as many runs as possible because scoring runs are very crucial. So if you could, you want to see your players with over 100 or, I mean, in the 90s or so. So next we have Dustin Pedroia, and DP has been phenomenal for this Red Sox club. I mean, ever since he came in the playoffs when he hit that home run over the Green Monster, it just turned that ball club all the way around, and then they ended up winning that World Series in 07. He's just such a terrific player. He's so good. However, a torn ligament in his left thumb suffered last opening day snapped his power, so he is trying to build up his power a little bit. But I think that he'll be able to really bounce back because, I mean, it is Dustin Pedroia. Dustin Pedroia is a very, very athletic second baseman, and he could really hit the ball well. And he has 98 runs with 16 home runs, which is almost double for what they had him last season. He only had 9 home runs last season. But he did only get up to bat 641 times, which is a lot, actually. I take that back. He bat a lot. He really gets around a lot, the lineup. He does, however, have 75 strikeouts last season, which is very low. you really want to see those numbers, as I did say. So, I mean, you really do like seeing that, and I do believe that Dustin Pedroia will be able to coincide with those numbers, because DP has a great eye. He's very good, and he really knows what he's doing when he's at the plate. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. He can really just drive the ball when he sees it. So for number four, we have Ian Kinsler. And Ian Kinsler, has been very good for this ball club as well. And he departed from the Texas, and now he's a Detroit Tiger. So he is moving around a lot. A new lineup could really be crucial for his talent, because he is new to the league, and or not the league, he's new to the team, and he does need to find out where he does fit. But I think that he'll just be able to blend right in, and he'll be just fine when it comes down to it. But if not, I think that he'll still be able to produce great numbers for his team, and he'll be able to come out on top at the end of the season and have very, very, very good things to say about him and the rest of the ball club. And I think that he'll be able to stay there for a while. And in my opinion, I think that he may actually be there for the rest of his career if things go well this season. So next we have is Brandon Phillips, and he's a Cincinnati Reds second baseman. And after a winter of trade rumors, Phillips thankfully returns to the Cincinnati Reds, with whom he'll once again call a hitter-friendly ballpark his home, and will again occupy a premium lineup spot. So he's always at the top of the lineup. He's a very good hitter. They say that he'll be batting second, fourth, or fifth in all likelihood. And here's why that's important, because Phillips has hit 95 to 160 homers during his Reds career at Great American Ballpark, and his Reds scored the third most runs in the National League in 2013. So they really get around a lot. And they have him going for 18 home runs this season with only 88 runs. So he's doing very well. He's projected to do very well. And he also is supposed to have under 100 Ks, which is also very good. You always want to see less Ks and high hits. So next we have Ben Zobrist. And Zobrist is a Tampa Bay Rays player. And Zobrist is in a fantasy darling for a variety of reasons. Most obviously is that he qualifies at three different positions in leagues with the 20-game requirement. So that type of fantasy baseball league, Ben Zobrist really fits in well, because he could fit in for the multiple positions. Because Ben Zobrist is a second baseman, a shortstop, and also an outfielder. He's a utility man, for what they say in baseball. He's really bouncing around a lot, and that's why they feel as though that he's going to really be able to put up good numbers this time. And then Matt Carpenter is number 7. And Matt Carpenter, a patient line drive hitter, will be able to produce very good for this St. Louis Cardinals team. I'm very off of it with the team names today. However, he is going for 12 home runs projected, and also projected for 108 runs with 79 RBIs, which is more than he had last season, and over 100 Ks, which is, as I say, not that you really want to see. But Matt Carpenter did have a very good time playing for his team last season, and he's very happy with where he is in the batting lineup, and I think that he's going to be able to produce very well for this team again this year. And then we have number 8, Jose Altuve, and he is a Houston Astros player. And it speaks volumes about the extent of the Houston Astros rebuilding project, the Altuve. A player with 2.5 years service time is arguably their most recognizable star in some ways. The distinction has harmed more than it hurt him. He was consistently shuffled between the top 3 spots in the lineup in 2013 and showed more of a propensity to swing at bad pitches out of the three hole. So he really just wants to jump out and just try to get hits for his team. But, I mean, there aren't really – you when you're batting third, you're going to see a lot of curves and a lot of changeups and a lot of sliders, a lot of dirty things. As a leadoff hitter, you're going to see a lot more of the straight fastballs, so you can't really get a taste. That's why when you're a leadoff batter, they really want you to go deep in the count just to see what they have. So if you ever watch a game, you could kind of notice that a player will – a leadoff batter will always try to – go deep in the count just so they could see all the pitches and tell them what's good and what's not, even though they do have a scouting report. So number nine is Chase Utley. And, I mean, just when you hear his name, you just know that it's just going to be good things about him. Chase Utley, I feel as though, is that he's going to have a very good season and he's going to be able to produce more for his team than he did last season. And he's just going to be keep on progressing and progressing. He's averaging – he's going to be – they have him for averaging 76 runs this season with 16 home runs, although he's not really a big home run hitter. He more gets RBIs. So they have him going for 71 ribbies with 51 walks and under 80 strikeouts. So very good player indeed. Now for number 10, the last one, we have Aaron Hill, and he's the Arizona Diamondbacks. And his main thing is his injuries. I don't really think that you should be drafting him that high. I think that he should be waited for a backup or even a backup's backup because he's very injury prone, so you just have to be careful. And with that, that will conclude this segment. You're listening to DJ Roughhouse on the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And we'll be right back with the fantasy hockey segment, so stay with us.
Forever, but I say they don't know what they talking about. Talking about. This love is only getting stronger, so I don't wanna wait any longer. I just wanna tell the world that you're mine, girl. Oh, they don't know about the things we do. They don't know about the but I bet you if they only knew, they would just be jealous of us. They don't know about the up all night. They don't know I've waited all my life just to find a love that feels this right. Baby, they don't know about, they don't know about us.
One touch and I was a believer. Every kiss gets a little sweeter.
Feels right. Baby, they don't know.
going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Nest on radio.dominican.edu, Rip Penguin Radio. This is DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to Fantasy Nest again, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And this third segment, as usual, is going to be fantasy hockey segment. And we're going to talk about some injuries as usual. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty and find out who's going to be playing and who's not going to be playing. So let's dive right into it. Andrus Sekera. I always notice that hockey players always have unique names because they're not really... Their nationalities are always crazy. So, Andrus Sekera. He plays for the Carolina Hurricanes, and he's day-to-day, and he has a lower body issue, and he will not be playing tomorrow night against the Rangers, is what Mike Maniscalco of the WRAL reports. So, lower body issue day-to-day. He's not playing tomorrow. Sit him out of your lineup. You could pick up many other players. Don't really worry about him. He should be back. You don't need to drop him or anything. He should be back for the next game that they have, which is probably going to be Thursday or next week. But the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be all right without him. Pick up the backup defender because he will be crucial. And also, just keep a watch on him for the player updates that they put out from their team. And then we have Martin Hansel, and Martin is also day-to-day with a lower body issue. He's also questionable for Tuesday game against the Blue Jackets, so I would also sit him out for a questionable approach. He's a center. He's not really going to be getting the I don't think that he'll be missed that much if he just sits out one game. He's also a center, so there's also many backups for the center position. It's very, very easy to fill a void for that position. So next we have Zach Rinaldo, and he's a Philadelphia Flyers player, and he has been suspended. This is the first time that we're having suspended on the show. Let me just take a moment and just make it a moment. Just kidding. So Rinaldo has been suspended for 4 games by the NHL Department of Player Safety. So he could have put on a big hit on somebody that was illegal. So they just said, all right, you need to simmer down and put him in a corner. Next we have Mike Smith of the Phoenix Coyotes, and he is out. Smith has a knee issue and was a full participant in Monday's practice, but he's not going to be playing for a while. I mean, there's such a huge difference between practicing and playing that it's very hard to judge whether someone is ready or not. So they put him in a full contact sport in practice, and you can't really get a good tell because you don't really have the adrenaline going that you have in the games. And then we have Drew Daughtry of the LA Kings. It's the Anaheim Ducks, I'm sorry. The LA Kings, and he's day-to-day. Daughtry has an upper body issue and did not participate fully in Monday's practice. Daughtry is a huge player for this Kings team, and they will need him when they make their playoff run. And I think that the LA Kings could be very, very far in the playoffs if Daughtry does stay healthy, because he does facilitate their whole defensive aspect, and they do need him to provide for this LA Kings team. And then we have Alexander Steen, and he's a St. Louis Blues player, and he's day-to-day. He has an upper body issue. He did, however, return to practice, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports. So he's back on the ice, skating around, just getting a feel for it. He should be back soon. I mean, day-to-days are not very serious. Along with Drew Daughtry, he's also day-to-day. But when you see somebody don't participate in practice, it does raise questions. So next we have Corey Sarich, and he's a Colorado Avalanche day-to-day player. And he has a back issue, and he missed his third straight game Sunday, so he should be coming back pretty soon. When you do have a back issue, they are very serious because there's so many nerves and things back there that you don't want to mess around with. So I do think that he will be coming back soon. However, just be careful when you start him and when you don't start him. I would let him play a game with him on the bench just in case, because you never know. It's like using a Michael Vick. You never know when he's going to get injured. So then we have Christian Herroth, and he's day to day. He's a Buffalo Sabre player. And Efrof it has a head issue, and he will be a game time decision tomorrow night against the Red Wings. Head issues are always serious with the concussions, and you don't really want to mess around with them. So I would also sit him out for tomorrow's game and just see how he feels. So then we have Cam Fowler of the Anaheim Ducks finally, and he is out. Coach Bruce Boudreau indicated that Fowler has a leg issue, but he will be playing this week, but he is just out for their next game. A lot of defenders are really the main source of the injuries. However, there are a lot of defenders is the upside to it. So then we have Chad Rowettle, and he's a Buffalo Sabres player, and he's also out. He has a concussion and will miss the final week of the regular season, which is very crucial for a team because that is when they really get everything together and they find their own. But he is for sure out, so do not start him. He is gone. He's out. And then we have Nathan Lilwin, and he's also Buffalo Sabler. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a update. And he suffered a concussion Sunday against the Flyers. So it has only been a couple days. So, yes, for sure sit him out and just let him just do his thing. He'll recover. He will be fine. He'll be back for playoffs for sure if they do indeed make it to the playoffs. So then we have Jeffrey Leupold, and he's a Toronto Maple Leafs player. And Leupold is slated to undergo surgery to repair his meniscus. Ow. That is very, very painful. Anytime that you have to repair a ligament, I mean, it's nothing to joke around about. So then we have Keith Ballard, and he's a Minnesota Wild player. And Ballard has a groin issue, and he will not play tonight against the Winnipeg. So he is out indefinitely. Put him on the bench. He will not be partaking in the game. And then we have Andrew Ladd. And Ladd is another Winnipeg Jet player. And he's day-to-day. He has unspecified issues, however. And he won't play Monday against the Wild. And Ken Wiebe of the Winnipeg Sun reports. So I would say that the Winnipeg Jets, I would stay away from picking up a defender as well, because Dustin Byfuglien of the Winnipeg Jets has an upper body issue and is done for the season due to a muscle tear. So just be careful with, I know you can't really tell when a player's going to get injured. However, you could see their how much physical contact they take. And you'll be able to base off how much they're, or what's the likelihood of them getting injured off that. Because fantasy hockey is basically about who's going to stay uninjured for the rest of the season. So next we have Jerome Ignedia, and he's a Boston Bruin player. And Ignedia has a lower body issue and is day-to-day. So that was according to the coach of the team, which is Claude Julien, and he is going to be out. So find another right winger, which, I mean, even though he's day-to-day, he probably is going to be playing again soon. So you don't really need to worry about what is going to be going on with him. He'll be fine because he's also a very tough guy. And Nathan Horton of the Columbus Blue Jackets has a lower body issue and is a game time decision Tuesday. So keep your phone next to you because you never really know if he's going to be sitting or he's going to be starting. You just really have to be aware of the situation that they're placed in. So now we have RJ Umberger, and he's a Columbus Blue Jackets. Umberger will miss a couple of weeks with an upper body injury. He's not really feeling that well, and he's probably going to be done for the season. Next, we have Mike Green of the Washington Capitals, and Green has an upper body issue, and he will not travel with their next two road games. So he's going to be sitting out. So bench Mike Green. He's also a defender. So he's going to be out for the next couple games. So just watch out on that. Make sure that he's on your bench. And then we have Kevin Miller of a Boston Bruins. And he has an undisclosed injury, but was not on the ice in Monday's practice. However, he is only listed as day-to-day. So I think that he'll be able to come back soon and be able to play. They're for sure going to the playoffs. They'll be all right. And then we have Trad Woodwhittle of the Buffalo Sabres again. And Woodwhittle sustained a concussion in Sunday's loss to the Flyers after taking a hit from Philadelphia's Zach Rinaldo. So they could have both, it could have been a double injury on that incident. And then finally we have Clayton Stoner of the Minnesota Wild. Stoner has a knee issue and is close to skating, but is still a little hesitant to get back on the ice. So he is out. And with that, that will do it for this segment of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I am your host, DJ Fantasy, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be coming right back after this commercial break with the final recap. Stay with us. Lord, I stand against the faceless men. Again, I stand. Lord, I stand against the faceless men. Now I saw a face on the wall.
Going on, everybody. Welcome back to this final recap of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So let's wrap it up really quick in this last 15 minutes that we have together. Saddest part of the show. So we have talked about the fantasy basketball leaders, and the top 10 players were Kevin Durant averaging 32 points a game, which is just insane. And then Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Blake Griffin, Stephen Curry, James Harden, DeMar DeRozan,
Paul George, and Dirk Nowitzki. And Dirk Nowitzki is shooting 901% from the free throw line, which is just insane. He is making every single shot that he takes, which is also a very crucial part to having a fantasy basketball team, as I did say earlier. And I also talked about how Paul George likes to drive to the hole and will shoot from anywhere on the court in the half court offense. And he does like to drive the lane and gets that physical contact, and that really gets him to the basket as well. And then I talked about DeMar DeRozan, who came out very well and is shooting very well for his team. And James Harden of the Houston Rockets, go Rockets, clinch playoffs, let's go Rockets, Red Nation. James Harden is shooting very well for this team as well, averaging three three-pointers a game. And then we went to fantasy baseball segment, which is one of my favorite segments. Actually, all three are my favorite segments. They're all perfect. I love sports. And for the fantasy baseball segment, however, we did have number one Robinson Cano as the number one second baseman in the fantasy baseball segment. With Jason Kipnis, Dustin Pedroia coming in number three, coming back from that terrible torn ligament in his left thumb suffered in last opening day, but he is bouncing back and he's going to do great things. And then we talked about Ian Kinsler, who's just made his debut as a Detroit Tiger, and I think that is going to be the place where he's going to be staying for the rest of his career, and I think he's going to finish up as a Detroit Tiger, and I think that he's going to be doing great things for the Detroit Tiger organization over the rest of his career. And then Brandon Phillips of the Cincinnati Reds basically likes where he is now, and he's going to be batting in the heart of the lineup, which is just where he wants, and he really likes that Cincinnati Reds ball stadium. And then we have Ben Zobrist of the Tampa Bay Rays. Boo Rays. I hate the Rays. Sorry. So anyways, Ben Zobrist is going to have a great fantasy season, although I do despise the Rays. But Ben Zobrist is a great second baseman, and what makes him such a great player is that he qualifies for the three different positions in the league with a 20-game requirement, because he is a second baseman, shortstop, and also an outfielder, which makes him such a dynamic player. And I talked about that means that he is a utility player, which is the lingo for the baseball athletes who, if you're going to mention a player who plays multiple positions, he is called a utility player. And then coming in seventh is Matt Carpenter. Eighth is Jose Altuve, who served for this great country overseas. And he's a remarkable star, and he's going to be doing great things for the Houston Astros. And then number nine was Chase Utley, who everybody loves Chase Utley. And then finally, Aaron Hill. And those three guys are going to be doing well. Although I did talk about how Aaron Hill, I do not think that he is going to be the best possible pickup, because he is very injury prone, and I don't think that he's going to be able to do well for the team if he keeps getting injured, because you can't help from the bench, which is very tough to come along with. And then for the third segment, I talked about fantasy hockey injuries. And there are just so many to name, it's so hard to go back and just pick my favorite injuries to talk about. So I did talk about Chad Rudwell, who did have a concussion, and he did suffer that concussion after taking a gnarly hit from the Philadelphia's Zach Rinaldo. And however, Zach Rinaldo was also placed onto the concussion list because of that collision, I believe. So they both collided from an unsportsmanlike hit, and they both ended up getting concussions from it. One of them deserved it, one of them didn't, but still got it in the end. Things will turn around for them, though. They'll both come back and be great players for your fantasy team. And then to close up the show, in honor of the very end of March Madness and the national championship game is on right now, Connecticut and UConn are playing, and UConn is up 30-20 with 5 minutes left in the half. They were up on an 11-2 run in the very beginning. UConn came out extremely hot, and they're just doing tremendous things. What UConn did over this season, and fun fact, UConn's male and female team are both in the undefeated in championship games. They are a perfect 10-0 when they're both in the championship games. It may be 11. You guys will have to double check me on that. And the Kentucky did have a great run, and I think that they might be able to pull it out, but I'm rooting for UConn. I think that Connecticut's going to be able to get their next title. As I'm speaking, Shabazz Napier just hit a three-point jumper, and he's the guy who's basically brought them to the place where they are, hitting just shot after shot, just keeping this team alive. And they're just such a great team. And I guess this shot was very far away because SportsCenter has just tweeted Napier from the parking lot. So it was probably a very deep three. It looks on the GameCast that it was from the top of the key, although I do not have the entertainment system to be playing this game live, or else I would have told you where and how deep it was from. But unfortunately, I do not. So that will conclude it for the rest of the show. Thank you all so much for listening. I love all my fans and listeners. This is The Fantasy Nest. I am your host, DJ Roughhouse. Thank you guys for listening only on radio.dominican.edu. Please, please, please stay tuned for my good friend DJ Liberty's show, Political Row. Great show. Everybody should stay tuned and listen to it for the next hour from 7 to 8. If you guys are going to be eating dinner, it's a great thing to listen to. Just stay tuned and listen to it. It's a great show. All right, see you guys.